The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance. Quotes are easier online and you'll save time at aviva.ie.
This is News Talk. News Talk's Cash Machine.
We will have a winner of our biggest ever Cash Machine prize today. The Cash Machine amount is 303,000 euro. So you need to get your entry in by 3 o'clock today. 3 o'clock this afternoon, the Cash Machine will then randomly pick a number and it could be you we're calling during Moncrief. Answer within five rings, tell us the prize amount and the cash is yours. There are two ways you can enter. You can visit newstalk.com/cash machine where you can enter online or text the word play to 57557. The cost is €2.50 plus your standard message rate to play. You do have to be over 18 and you're playing across the Go Loud network of stations. Full terms are on our website newstalk.com. Artemis 2, flying in outer space since launching from Florida last week, is due to splash down off the Southern Californian coast today. And they reached the moon, of course, earlier this week and flew around the far side of the moon. We all saw the pictures. Niamh Shaw is a scientist and space communicator who was at the launch. And Niamh joins me now. Hello, Niamh.
Hello again, Claire. How are you?
I'm good. Have you splashed down yourself since it all happened?
Oh, I tell you, I've been floating. It's just been an incredible, it's just been such a lovely kind of antidote to the world right now, being able to watch them live. And every night they have a press conference and people have been contacting me and asking me about it. It's just been a great week. Very tired, but brilliant. Been an incredibly positive week.
But tell us, and all of that we have seen, and I think everybody has taken part in the joy of it. But this next bit is really serious and really dangerous, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And it's the most dangerous part of the whole mission. There was a problem with the heat shield on, you know, the test launch of the very first time Artemis went in 2022 on the heat shield of the capsule. And they haven't really changed the design of that. So what they've done is they've basically minimized the amount of time that the heat shield will be exposed to the atmosphere as it burns up. When all capsules, when they re-enter Earth at an atmosphere and they cut the atmosphere and it pushes back because our atmosphere is very pressured. You know, it's under pressure. And so that all the particles that are in the air are pushing off the side of that heat shield. And so the temperature outside goes to about 2000 degrees plasma almost. The crew themselves will be pulled in. They're going really, really fast. They've got to slow down from about 40,000 kilometers per hour to about, you know, to a very slow pace in order for them to splash down. Mm-hmm. So they'll feel about twice or four to up between twice to four times their own body weight on them. So it's like four bodies on top of you and they have to breathe through that. So, and then communication stop during that time because the plasma will interfere with the signal. And then they don't know how the heat shield is going to perform. They hope that if they bring that re-entry to as little as possible time-wise, that, you know, whatever damage happens, it'll still be okay.
Gosh, and then, that's incredible.
Yeah, it's really incredible. And so like they were saying on the press conference last night, we got really into the detail. They were saying like it's a sort of a payoff between, you know, the impact of that on other parts of the capsule versus, you know, minimizing the amount of time the heat shield is exposed to the atmosphere. So they have a plan. It's halfway between what they did for the Apollo and halfway what they did for the Artemis one. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I was listening to Victor Glover, who people probably know very well now, who's an Artemis 2 astronaut. He's the pilot, isn't he? He's sort of the lead on it. Yeah. And he was describing what he expects to happen as the capsule heads back to Earth. Let's hear what he had to say.
And so we're going to come into the atmosphere at about almost 40 times the speed of sound. And then we will slow down to a 20-mile-an-hour touchdown into the Pacific. When we touch down, the heat shield and the parachutes are going to get us nice and slow so that we touch down at about a 20-mile-an-hour splashdown in the Pacific. And we can't wait to see the dive team and the Navy that are going to come and pick us up.
So they can't really simulate this. Like you can train for everything,
that's
but you can't simulate this. Is that right?
That's right. This was the only thing they couldn't simulate for. So they looked at the data from Artemis 1 and they looked at the data from the Apollo and they've decided to go somewhere in between. They've kind of mixed the two kind of approaches and hope for the best. The Artemis 1 did this thing called a skip. So what happens is it's like you skim the water in order to slow down and then you re-enter. But they think that that's what caused the heat shield to kind of give off all this gas, and it started to kind of char too much. So what they're doing is this time they're skipping, but they're not skipping for as long. And then they're going in a little bit heavier in terms of the re-entry than they did for Artemis 1. And the reason for that is that the forces on the astronauts are less when you do that skip. Ideally, you want to half the speed on the skip, so that the re-entry then is the speed of the re-entry is half. But they're not doing it half and half. They're doing, I think, like a quarter and three quarters. So the guys are really going to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
They're really going to feel it. You know,
we can watch all of this, can we?
Yeah, on NASA TV or Netflix or Prime, I think. The splashdown is scheduled for 1:07 a.m. Irish time. So then if you work back, just turn it on maybe an hour or so beforehand and you'll get the gist of it. There's a lot of stuff before that it's just like they're lining up and you won't see that much. They'll be in their spacesuits again. They've put the seats back in place. So what we've been looking at, every time we saw them on screen, there was this sort of big kind of mesh with red and blue stuff just to the left of the screen. And that they're the seats and everything. So what they've been working on now is they have to put everything away that they've been using every day and get it back for, you know, re-entry. Very much like when you come to land in an aeroplane, like everybody's had their bags and stuff and you have to put everything back. So they're going to put the seats back in place. They're going to put their spacesuits on. They're going to be pressurized in case something should go wrong. That's all that happens. And then they're waiting. The whole thing is done automatically. There's nobody steering it or anything. But they have to brace themselves. So their back will be to the widest part of the capsule, which is the heat shield. And they'll be feeling that that gravity pulling them and pushing them in, like going that fast. It's going to be, incredible. They'll probably not feel the better for that when they land.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think there's about an hour before, you know, the ship, the Myrta, has to come and kind of take them, and they have to do all sorts of shutdowns and close downs and all that kind of stuff. And then they'll be able to open the capsule, and then they'll be rescued then by the ship and then brought to shore.
We learned a little bit on the program about how this trip will affect their bodies. They will need some time, won't they, to reacclimatize? Oh, yeah. How long will that take, and what sort of effects will they experience, Niamh?
Well, the first thing is that more than likely they would have peed out about a couple of litres out of their body when they were able to kind of go to the bathroom, because the fluids in your body work very differently in the absence of gravity, and all that extra fluid kind of tends to hang around the middle of your torso, and so it puts pressure on the heart, and then you feel like you want to go to the loo all the time. So they have to rehydrate, but their whole balance system is off.
I want to go back to the peeing thing, because you know it always fascinates us. When is the peeing happening? When they get back to Earth, or while they're spinning around?
No, that happened when they went up, they would have had to pee pretty soon once they experience weightlessness, because they'll just feel like they want to go to the loo the whole time, because there's all this fluid in your legs that just kind of naturally just sort of, you know, gravity pulls your fluid down your legs, mm-hmm. right? And so then you use your muscles then to bring it back up. So our fluid system is basically, you know, managed by gravity. And so in the absence of gravity, it doesn't work. So you have all this extra fluid that
gathering.
You want to get rid of.
How do you pee in space?
Well, they had the toilet, which was great. But then you also have kind of Ziploc bags. That was the backup. And I think from time to time they had to use the Ziploc bags because, you know, the toilet didn't work. And then they vent them, or basically throw them out of kind of a pipe out kind of one of the sides and stuff. But yeah,
but like, because there's no gravity, privacy, really. Like you have to. I'm just trying to imagine how it works.
Yeah, you would literally have to. There's like a sellotape kind of thing around the bag, and the bag is circular. And so you would kind of attach it to yourself, mm-hmm. and then you would pee in. And then there's like a sort of a Ziploc thing, a fastener at the top of it.
It's whooshing the wee away from you.
Yeah, well, the toilet will pull the wee away from you. It's like a pump
suction
that will pull
thing.
It away. But if you have to kind of go in one of the like the bags, it would be, you would have to just wee in the bag and then kind mm-hmm. of close it really quickly.
And do they release the wee into space then?
Yeah, they do. It's called venting. And so that was really funny. That was causing problems because you know, liquids behave very weirdly in the vacuum of space. So it's very cold. So then, you know, as somebody said, they're peacicles instead of icicles. They're peacicles, you know, icicles of pee.
Floating around.
Yeah. And then the wastewater was also something that was very difficult for them to manage. And they would vent that out as well. So, yeah. So then they have to rehydrate when they come back to Earth because they haven't needed that fluid. So they've got blinding headaches. But the most important thing is, Claire, like our inner ear is amazing. We have these three bones that tell you which way is up, which way is back and which way is across. You have three dimensional bones in your ears. But in gravity, they're all based on gravity. But in the absence of gravity, it's called your vestibular system. That kind of switches off. So they are really dizzy. So, you know, the way when you were a kid and somebody would spin you around in a chair and then you'd get up and you know it's like put the tail on the donkey kind of thing and you're really dizzy. That's the way they'll be for a couple of hours. And some people reacclimatize very quickly. Some people it can take a couple of days not to feel that dizzy.
So dizzy, but also then I would imagine wobbly legs as well, because mass will have reduced.
Yeah. Yeah, and they only had that rowing machine to try and keep some sort of muscle mass. Yeah.
So it's all going to take a while, but because the mission was relatively short, hopefully the recovery will be relatively short too.
Yeah, you would imagine so. And then radiation is a thing for this particular mission, you know, because once you leave kind of the Earth's, you know, geomagnetic field, you're exposed to a hell of a lot more radiation than, say, the astronauts on the International Space Station. So they'll be wearing sensors and stuff and all that. So I think they'll be very, very interested to make sure that that's all okay. You know, and then get them kind of eating again. But as you say, the fluids will start to work again, and that weakness, like they'll probably have to be carried out of the craft. Some of them jump out. Some of them have no problem with that microgravity effect, and some people are really affected by it. So it'll make you feel sick. That re-entry will make, you know, there's a lot of vomiting for a lot of people with re-entry, you know.
Unsurprising, described. And listen, I know we expect people to be interested in space travel, but are you surprised at how we've all been glued to this?
Astounded, absolutely astounded. And I'm so happy to see it. I've been going back and forth to NASA for years, you know, and you're like, hello, you know, you're trying to get somebody
paying a blind bit of notice.
And, you know, when the astronauts were stranded in space, that was great. That picked up a little bit of interest. But what's been really nice about this is that this has been a very positive mission. And so people have really just really enjoyed it. And yeah, absolutely astounded. People texting me, people I haven't heard from in years saying leave. And, you know, so I've been like, when I was at NASA, you know, at the launch, I was taking pictures to send. I have I do a lot of outreach and I work with families and I've been having Zoom calls with them. And it's just been lovely, Claire. And like, this is our third time talking, isn't it? I mean, it's just been brilliant.
But you've done a great job. You've done a brilliant job. And I said to you the last time on air, I watched you on Sky the night of the launch and I could tell that your enthusiasm was infectious for Sky as well, because you were there right throughout it all and they were going from their other guests back to Niamh all of the time because you had it all and your position at the launch where you were beside the clock. It was brilliant and you did a great job and you did us all proud as well. So thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure.
Niamh Shaw.
Thank you.
Listen, before you go, when can we give us the timing now? When should we be watching?
Yeah, I'd say like turn it on around midnight. There's not much happening. I mean, for us, we'll be watching it all night. But it really, re-entry kind of starts about like 40 minutes before 1:07. So around about 12:30.
Okay.
We won't, you know, you'll see the mission control room, but it's very tense. I mean, it's all down to this, you know, and please God, it'll go okay. You know,
there's your Friday night
then,
sorted.
And then you'll see the parachutes in the sky and you'll see them come down. It's beautiful.
Niamh, thank you so much. Niamh Shaw, scientist and space communicator.
The Claire Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.